You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
You've amped up this 100th anniversary of your league. You get Snoop out, and Snoop probably hit the bong right before he got out there, pressed play, and just had himself a time.
Back up in this mother- This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. And Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, still recovering from one of the all-time great sports weekends. Super Bowl 51 will go down in history as just a classic. I mean, incredible memories.
It was.
The tale of two games, really. Atlanta was executing a game plan that was textbook. Absolutely textbook. They were all over Brady. They weren't giving up much. They didn't possess the ball that much, but that's because they were so efficient offensively as well. Matt Ryan, this close to completing an all-time great season, right? Like MVP during the regular season, would have won MVP of the Super Bowl.
Hasn't the last three or four MVPs lost in the Super Bowl?
I think it's actually more than that.
Really?
And I guess that jinx continues, but difficult to bet against Brady and Belichick, but I'll admit I was doing that at halftime. And when it was 28-3, I was making notes about how disrespected the Falcons were leading up to the game, and will Brady ever get back to form? And
prop bet for you. 1.5 the amount of Super Bowls that Brady Belichick get back to.
Who get back to just playing, not win, just playing 1.5 as a duo?
I say they get back to two.
I got to go under the number because he's going to be 40 by the start of next year.
But does he have to be the starter?
Well, then you're getting into semantics. I guess he could stick around on the roster as a third stringer, maybe.
Asked me a question.
I'm not talking about him not being a starter. Okay. I'm talking about him.
I say under then, one more.
I think they'll get back to one more. It might be next year. I mean, you have to feel pretty confident they can do it again next year,
they
right?
They did that without Gronk.
That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, no Gronk.
This guy's throwing to Chris Hogan.
They did it to
James White. And
well, Jesse Palmer was talking. Like, the receivers were not all-world receivers.
No, man. This guy, he's not throwing. Like, he's had Gronkowski and Randy Moss throughout his career that are locked future Hall of Famers.
Right.
And all-time greats at their respective position. You could make a case Gronkowski is the greatest tight end of all time. Many would say Jerry Rice is the greatest wideout, but Randy Moss is right there. But beyond that, he's been thrown to very good players.
But not
like all-time great players.
I don't know who was talking about today with Scotty Mack. West Coast Mitch? Berger?
Mitch Berger.
Yeah, he was like, other than Randy Moss, there hasn't been a whole lot of Hall of Famers around Brady.
No.
He makes them better.
He makes everyone better.
That Edelman, I like that guy.
Julian Edelman's
not a big guy, though.
No, Amendola's not very big. Edelman's not that big.
Off the field, he's a legend. Isn't he the guy who got the picture on Snapchat? The girl took a picture of him?
Right. He was at the club, I think, celebrating a Super Bowl.
Nothing wrong with that.
What do you think that guy's up to right now?
He was also at the Kentucky Derby, I think, handing out hundreds to people.
That was Wes Welker that was doing
it. Oh, was it Wes Welker?
Remember, Welker, he nailed like a trifecta or something. He made a fortune, and he was just handing out hundies. And there were some unconfirmed reports that this guy may have been under the influence of
drugs.
Of something that would not necessarily it'd be legal, let's put it that way.
Fair
but that those are unconfirmed reports. That could be fake news.
Baked out of his tree, handing out hundreds. That's
could be
basically
fake news.
What he was.
You see Jeannie Bouchard, I guess she's on SportsCenter right now with Kara. I don't know how they tracked her down. Actually, I do know. It was Masters.
Masters Nation.
Do you see Mark Masters sent a tweet to Jeannie Bouchard
and asking, got a response.
Asking her if there's any chance we could catch up with you in interview about what happened on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
Where she said to some guy, if the Pats come back and win this, I will go on a date with you.
Yeah.
And now she's trying to convince the world she's going to follow through on that. Masters reaches out to Bouchard And she returns by saying, anything for you, Mark, with a smiley face.
Well, and he's on the tour.
I always have time for you, Mark.
You know what I've determined?
What?
Have you ever seen the movie The Other Guys?
Yes.
Masters is Will Ferrell from The Other Guys. I'll bet you his first girlfriend was like Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Like he's probably dating like Jennifer Lawrence before he got married. He's got a vibe about him. Women seem to love Mark Masters.
That's not true.
I'm telling you.
He's gone too far now. Right.
I'm telling you, man. Bouchard, I didn't see her reaching out to anyone from any other company. She got back to Masters pretty quickly.
What if those sports horns sent a note over?
I'll guarantee he's been blocked. How much do you want to bet that Jeannie Bouchard has blocked John Horn?
First shoots a selfie of the chest hair and the shirt unbuttoned.
Maybe one from Subway, something like that.
What Murray's
live
just
action shot?
A sub and chips.
With the conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt on his barrel.
No, I'm telling you. What worries me is this guy shows up for the date, and what if he's...
Well, that's why I'm not convinced she's going to follow through. She's trying to convince everyone she will. Because did you see the guy had an avatar picture of Tiger Woods?
Yes.
And he had, like, some dummy Twitter handle. It wasn't his name.
So this guy could be the ultimate goon.
He could be the biggest creep on earth.
He could be...
I mean, if he's following in the footsteps of Tiger Woods, he's probably going to take her to, like, a Perkins or a Hooters or something like that.
Right.
And who's fitting the bill? Jeannie's the millionaire. This guy is, like, going to school in Missouri or something like that.
Well, anyway. She put it out there. It's her own fault.
Yeah, she got cocky, like a lot of other people.
Exactly.
Let's bring in Ray. And Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Ray, you were a prominent pro athlete. If Twitter existed back in the 90s, and you got cocky on Twitter and said you would take some girl out for a date if whichever team came back and won the game, would you follow through on that promise?
Well, I don't see how you'd have a choice. You'd look like a donkey, wouldn't you?
Hmm.
What if you didn't go on the date?
By the way, there's not a chance she's showing up on this date without
security.
7'2" Ivan standing right behind her. There's not a chance.
Well, and furthermore, she's not giving out her home address for this guy to pick her up in like his, you know, Dodge Neon.
They're meeting at Subway on the corner.
Right.
Well, is it greasy if you walk into a restaurant and the person you're supposed to meet is not what you thought and you just wheel out the other side door?
He's gonna know what
may
she looks
or may
like.
Not
though.
Have done it.
He's gonna know.
Oh, you're
what she
talking.
Looks like.
You're talking about in your experience.
Yeah, like is it greasy to walk in and just say nope, I don't want to. That's not what I thought. I'm out.
Yeah, I think it is greasy, but it's a move that maybe she might have made too. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's true. It can go both ways, right? You're talking about different filters and stuff, pictures on different websites potentially.
Right.
That happens.
That are misleading.
Right, because you can doctor the evidence to make yourself, and I'll look myself in the mirror. I could look like Brady if you gave me enough time.
But so you're saying if you were Peter Griffin and you put yourself on an avatar like you look now.
No, I'm saying
that's fake news.
Well, it is fake news, but you can adjust the filter, you can adjust the light. You know how every girl's got the one angle that's a perfect angle and somehow they look.
Dude, I was on Tinder a couple years ago when a girl wrote me. She's like, "One of your pictures is of you playing hockey." And I'm like, "Yeah, so what?" She goes, "That was a long time ago. Get a life." I go, "Well, who the hell are you kidding? We got in a fight about each other's pictures." She's like, "Get a life. That's not you now."
Just swipe
I got to be honest. I think she's onto something. That's a bit misleading. I can't put my prom picture up and pretend like that's what I'm rolling with, you know?
That's when I just said to hell with that app.
Swipe left. See you later.
Yeah.
Anyway.
By the way, when you brought up the sports horn, that was the first image I thought of.
Chest hair?
Flowing.
with a 12-inch assorted and a bag of Doritos and just having himself a time.
Just mucking that sub.
And getting blocked by Jeannie Bouchard.
No, I guarantee you he knows her.
Oh,
I guarantee you he knows her.
I'll bet she does. Anyway, how about that game last night, Ray?
Well, how about Ray pulling the plug with 14 and a half minutes left because I was bored. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to go shovel the driveway because Riley wanted to play hockey after the game. So he sticks his head out about 10 minutes later. Hey, it's 28-20. I'm like, how did that happen? He's 10, right? He goes, I don't know. So I'm like, well, I guess I better get back in there. So I missed Julio Jones's catch. I missed the sack. I missed the, like, whatever the drama was. When I got back in there, they were just starting the game-tying drive.
So at
like,
that
I bailed
point,
on it.
Were you convinced Brady was going to close the deal?
I was more worried that they weren't going to get the two-point conversion.
Right.
Like, I thought, you know what, I can see them scoring here. But then, of course, it included that circus catch. Like, what are the chances that could ever happen again like that?
Well, and that's what we were talking about earlier. I think the Jones catch was more impressive because that is pure athleticism. I think he might be the only wideout in the league that can do it because of his size, because of his dexterity, everything that came with that. The Edelman catch was unbelievable, but it was also unbelievably lucky, right? Like, it went off the Falcon's leg and then popped up, and somehow he got his hands around it. Yet that's what we'll remember, right? That's on the highlight reels for the next 50 years.
Well, because the game can't make the comeback unless he somehow catches that.
Right.
But I'm blown away that for all of the Super Bowls, how many guys you've never heard of before played starring roles for the Patriots. Like, so, you know, like in the championship game, Hogan catches, you know, for 100 yards. I mean, the guy was on a practice roster. They trade that linebacker Collins to Cleveland because he wanted too much money. Oh, we'll just get somebody else, and they go win again. I don't know how they do it. It's really quite amazing.
Well, and we were saying this earlier. Gronkowski didn't even play. Like, Gronk is their best offensive weapon outside of Brady, doesn't even play, and yeah. They cruise to a Super Bowl. Like, and they'll probably do it again next year. They could cut Gronkowski today, and they'll still be favorites.
Well, don't they have to make a decision to re-sign him or not?
I think he's under contract, but he's going to be demanding a new deal and demanding more money. That's going to be a dicey spot, and Belichick has proven he'll be ruthless. Like, we were joking about this, but really it's not that funny. If he could, he would cut players today. He would cut players today for the 2017 season.
Well, I remember watching a Stanley Cup game. It would have been Jersey and Anaheim, and it was game 6. And so Anaheim won to send it back to Jersey, where eventually they lost. And this guy who was with Anaheim's front office, we were watching warm up. He goes, "Yeah, the thing that sucks about this, these guys are playing so hard, and like 6 of them aren't going to be back next year." Like, the series wasn't even over yet. And I'm like, man, management has to be ruthless. Like, they just have to be.
Yep.
And Belichick does it. Their view of when a player is past their best on date is critical, and they don't seem to miss too much.
Well, and that's the coach too, right? And you hear in other sports where a lot of times coaches have a difficult time detaching themselves from the relationship, the connection they have with the player.
Right.
And Belichick is in the trenches in Houston last night with these guys. These guys won him his 5th Super Bowl, and I think if you asked him today, hey, would you cut that left guard who missed that block last night? He'd say, yes, I would. I would cut number 58. Wouldn't even say his name. He'd just move on. You have to be ruthless, but that's why they win all the time. That's why he's got Brady and everyone else is interchangeable.
Well, I gotta think they're going to take a day to enjoy this, then the parade, and you'll probably be watching video by Thursday.
Right.
You know, like those guys, I don't know, more than any sport, I don't know how they do it. Like, that is a grind of all grinds. And I'm sure the guys in Cleveland do it, but they never win. So it must really suck for them.
That's the best part. Belichick's already worried about the 2017 season, and all these other teams are like, really? You can't spot us 5 weeks into the offseason? You're really that worried about what the Bills are doing right now? Believe me, they're not taking advantage of that time. It's not happening.
But it was an amazing, amazing story. And, I mean, I guess whoever you like, if you like Montana or somebody else, but it's hard to pick against Brady now, isn't it?
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. We'll get back into the Super Bowl. Leafs back in action tonight. That game on Saturday night, I figured that would have been the most entertaining and memorable game of the weekend until Brady and the Pats in the third quarter decided to change that idea. But 6-5 Leafs, They're up 4-1. They blow it. They go up 5-4. They blow it. And then JVR, I don't know how that went in, but it did. They win in regulation. This has been a season loaded with entertaining games. But I think that tops it for a number of reasons. But first and foremost, the fact that they actually closed the deal and won in regulation. I mean, if you were watching, wasn't that incredible theater on Saturday night?
Well, because the game seemed so in hand when they got the three goals in 90 seconds, and then, you know, they give up one, and then right away, I don't know what you guys thought, but I'm like, oh, well, this thing is nowhere near over now.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they gave up the second one, you're like, you know what, they're going to give up another one just because of the way they are. And sure enough, now it's right back into the game. And, you know, I mean, Nylander gets his turn in the spotlight. And every time they seem like they could go up on a couple of wheels, or they could, you know, they could have really been in a spot here. And we've talked about them kind of wandering around and not playing very well for a couple of weeks. Yet, there's, as you mentioned, it's a regulation win against a team they got a bunch of games in hand on. And now it's, you know, it just seems a matter of time that, you know, they'll pass them and move into third in the division. And, man, they don't play boring games. And I guess the two things that would concern me if I were Toronto was that, you know, since the break, Anderson, or longer than that, Anderson has not been as sharp as he was for 2 months. And then however long it's going to take Riley to get back to full speed, because he's, you know, he's going to keep tweaking this ankle, apparently, and it's going to be a long road back for him.
Yeah, that was an interesting approach from Babcock, and even Riley, I guess, was speaking on it today, and they've just conceded he's going to continue to get hurt. It's going to be like a stinger.
I don't like that. It's just the ankle, anything high ankle sprain, it's like...
But it's probably structurally fine, but it's dealing with pain management, would it not?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, basically.
Yeah, my thing is, if it's weak, you're going to be compromising the other side of your body to protect the other, and it seems like a disaster waiting to happen. I don't like it. I don't like the sounds of it anyway.
Well, yeah, I think what would worry me is that there's no shortcut to getting better. It's going to be weeks and weeks before, whether he sits there or not, it's going to be a long time. And that, you know, I dislocated my ankle, and I tweaked it a couple of times, and it hurts like heck, man. It you think you've re-injured it again, and then it goes away. But mine was like, it wasn't that high ankle stuff, right? That seems to linger for forever, and they just can't afford him to be at 75%. That'll be a tough one for them.
Well, it really is a dichotomy though, because they need him. You know,
yeah.
He's clearly their best defenseman, and they're swimming defensively right now, and it's not like he had this great game on Saturday night. He didn't, but at Martin Marincin and Pollock, they were awful. That can't be a thing, but it's not like Hunwick is going to be that much better. I mean, Matt Hunwick might play tonight. I would think he should play tonight, and they just claimed the guy off waivers. It's not like Bobby Orr was released by the Red Wings.
By the way, I think Alexei Marchenko is their fourth best defenseman.
The Maple Leafs?
Yes.
Really? So why did Detroit give up on him?
They've got they got a waiver problem. They had to send somebody down. They weren't going to send Sproul. Sproul's got a higher offensive upside. Marchenko will be for sure in their third pair. Like, I know people probably don't know him at all. I think he's decent. He's better than what they're playing as a pair in their third group.
Right.
I could easily see Babcock, because he has faith in Marchenko from Detroit, I could see him pairing him with Gardner once he gets acclimatized here.
Really? So you'd move Carrick back, and then what? Does Pollock come out of the lineup?
Well, I think they would I would start Carrick on the left side with Pollock, because I'm not playing Marincin anytime soon.
No, he's in a really dark spot.
Well, and we've all
and that's
confirmed,
being generous.
Like, Frankie Corrado, everyone was like, free Frankie. Like, the league didn't, like, he flushed through waivers, no problem.
The whole
right?
league said no thanks.
Like, and that part of that is because he hasn't played. He hasn't played in 2 years. So maybe he can get his game at the AHL level and make it back to the NHL with somebody else. But his development has been stunted.
Why would you claim him? You don't even know what he is anymore.
Right.
You know, to your point, Noodles. Like, I mean, how would you think, oh, yeah, this guy can be an answer? Man, he hasn't. I mean, what's he played? He's played two games since last April.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, and it's not like he's a difference maker. He's just a guy trying to build his career. It's a tough spot for him. But now he gets to go play, and really the only thing he should be worried about is trying to rebuild his resume, that
right.
he can be a viable prospect.
Well, I was a bit surprised. I thought maybe someone would take a flyer on him, but the fact that Marchenko slid all the way through waivers to the point where the Leafs could even claim him, because let's not forget, the Leafs would have had, like, what, the 15th, 16th, 17th claim?
Yeah.
A bunch of teams decided not to take him. I think it says something about the salary cap situation, probably the Vegas situation as well, and who you can keep, who you actually want to play, where you're at in the season. But Corrado, yeah, I mean, hopefully he goes down to the Marlies, which he's been loaned to the Marlies, and can find a way to make his way back into the NHL. Another big moment on Saturday was that fight between Matt Martin and Adam McQuaid.
Ooh, that was ended with a bomb, huh?
Those two are heavyweights, though. That McQuaid can throw.
I was saying to Hayes, like, that was at the end of a shift for McQuaid, too. Like, he was skating off and said...
You know, Martin just chirped
Martin
him. He said, all right.
Said, yeah, let's go. I'll turn around.
Didn't he hit Austin Matthews, and that's how it all started?
Yeah, it was
he didn't really – Matthew, he didn't lay him out.
There was contact, though.
It wasn't a dirty hit.
Yeah, he did. He hit Matthews. That's why Martin went at him. There's no denying it. It's not like it's open to discretion. Martin came off the bench, said, let's go. I know what you just did. McQuaid said, all right, let's dance.
You know, I always remember this conversation when I see the big boys fighting like that, and – I was in L.A., and Matt Johnson had just gotten into a fight. And, you know, Matt was, I don't know, 6'4" and
he was a monster.
Oh, man. And he was telling me that sometimes you have to take a couple to get into position. And I go, take a couple of what? I go, those things? And he's like, yeah, sometimes you got to take two or three to get your balance set. I'm like, not a chance. If I even saw somebody's fist go by me, I was falling down, grabbing them around the waist. Like, those guys were just, there were three or four really, really solid, you know, punches landed. I was like, oh, man, I hope nobody gets hurt. And then, of course, Martin takes it in the side of the head there and, you know, fortunately seems to be fine. But holy smokes, That was a throwback fight, that one.
Oh, no question. And Martin and Babcock not happy about the visor that McQuaid was wearing. But McQuaid, you know, the rules in the league now don't allow you to take your helmet off. So you can't blame him. He's a tough customer. Believe me, he would be happy to oblige, helmets off. I have no doubt about that.
Right.
And you could see Martin was yelling at him. And without knowing this definitively, I would guess he was probably saying, take your helmet off. Like,
Are you not shocked that Martin came back in the game?
I was, yeah, but, I mean,
he would have had to go through the protocol.
I think he went through the protocol.
Some he only guys, played like 4 minutes
that's the thing, that's the great question when it comes to concussions. Somebody can get a little tap on the lips and be out for weeks. Another guy could take a puck off the side of the head or a punch off the side of the head, maybe get their bell rung and recover, it seems, immediately. Like, that's the great unknown with these concussions. And I don't know. They're doing a lot more research. I think there's as much information as possible right now for the Times, but that is still the X factor, because we've seen guys get what we think is not a crazy hit, and they've been out for months.
Well, it does make you wonder if that will lead to them changing the fighting penalties to automatic game misconduct, and they'll sell it as, once you've been in a fight, we can't allow you to come back into the game.
And I think that's the right way. I don't know, Ray,
so one
where,
fight
where
you're out of the game.
Yeah, I could see that coming.
Well, I think that's probably the next step anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're right, maybe they can sell it as safety, but you know, I mean, I saw a stat even in the American League, fighting's down 20% this year. Like, it's a pretty clear pattern what's going on. And I don't know. I mean, when he came back for the third, I was like, well, I guess he obviously passed the protocol. He would have had to to go through and do that baseline because he took a punch in the head. I mean, like, there's no other way around that, is there?
No, and on the flip side, McQuaid didn't go down, but he got popped a couple, too. Like, he took a couple right off the chin, and he...
Well, okay, maybe that's the best point, Brian, is that, you know, like, would he have gone through the protocol?
I think he did.
But it was the end of the period. He might have.
Right.
But guys get in a fight. They sit in the box for 5 minutes, and they come out. They've just been punched in the head. Yet somebody takes a high stick, like Noodles mentioned earlier on, and they've got to go and get themselves, through the baseline in the quiet room.
I don't know. That's what I was going to say. Maybe that's where the spotters come in.
And they say he has, you know, after a fight, he's got to be looked at anyway. I mean, it seems like it's two different rules, really.
It is in many ways. And I think they're still working out the kinks, but they may just take the kinks out of it and say once, in those situations, sorry, you're out. You're done. There's nothing we can do about it.
That's probably the next level.
We'll catch you a couple of days down the road. Anyway. All right, buddy. Good stuff, man. And go back and watch that third and fourth quarter from last night. It was quite the game.
I just want to watch the 8 minutes or 9 minutes that I missed. I don't want to watch the third quarter. Okay. Nothing happened there. I want to watch the fourth quarter again.
Yeah, that was brilliant TV.
Well, boys, we'll talk to you tomorrow. I've got Dallas tomorrow, so I'll be in there at some point.
Okay, looking forward to it. There he is.
Later.
Ray Ferraro and Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Pre-game for Leafs Isles tonight in just over an hour. We're out of here at 6:30. Puck drop at 7 p.m. Marcellus Wiley will let us, try to put this into perspective with him.
Yeah.
How do we break down what happened last night? Was it a great comeback? Was it a choke job? What does this mean for the Brady Belichick legacy? Can the Falcons possibly recover? Marcellus Wiley checks in next. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on Ottawa Saturday, February 18th, down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Maple Leafs who were a part of the Battle of Ontario back in the early 2000s. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Darcy Tucker. Darcy Ooh. Tucker is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day.
Friend of the show.
Big fan of yours, Hayes.
Loves me in particular. Tunes in specifically to hear my takes.
Your hot takes.
I don't think I've got anything that's like scorching today.
No.
I think we all approached the game the same way last night, that I thought it was over. I thought the Falcons were going to win that game. I thought they were going to crush them after the second half started with a 3-and-out quickly by Atlanta, but then a 3-and-out by New England. Yeah. Then Atlanta goes and scores 7, and it's 28-3. I'm like, they're just going to steamroll them. Like,
yeah.
The Pats are not going to find a way to get back in this, and the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, and trying to put it into perspective is very difficult because it's a one-game playoff as opposed to a best-of-7. Right? People are comparing it to Cavs coming back against Golden State, Cubs coming back against the Tribe. You get to reset for game 5, reset for game 6. You're trying to reset on the fly in a Super Bowl. That's tough, man.
Right, right.
That was incredible last night.
It was a tale of two games.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little hot take for you. If they didn't have an hour-long
halftime,
do you think that game's over?
I'm not sure if that factored in.
Because momentum is a big thing.
It can be. But again, I think because Atlanta got that stop the first time the Pats touched the ball in the second half, 3-and-out, I thought, you know, there it is.
Yeah. I find it unbelievable, like the longevity. And like I talk about the only Super Bowl I went to, it was Pats versus the Eagles. It was like 10 years ago.
Right.
And this guy's still doing it.
Man, he's got 5 rings in like 15 years.
It's crazy.
And that was at the back end when they beat Philly. Was that their third Super Bowl?
Might have been.
I think it was. I think they went Rams, Panthers, Eagles, I believe. So he was already 3 rings in. At that point, the only guy that can beat this guy is Eli Manning.
I know.
See, like, how does that make any sense?
But isn't Eli, people give Eli heck, right?
Well, because he kind of looks goofy.
I was thinking that today. I'm like, who the hell did they lose to? Giants, twice.
Eli.
He's got 2, though, right?
I think Eli's borderline Hall of Famer.
There you go.
Let's bring in Marcellus Wiley, former NFLer and co-host of ESPN Sports Nation. Explain that for us, how Eli's the only guy that can beat Brady.
Oh,
Oh, wow. I guess it's into the mental makeup. If we had to go with some guesswork, Eli Manning has that composure that really does him well in high-leverage moments, intense moments. And we've seen it. The stark contrast, juxtapose him and his brother, Peyton. So Peyton is tremendous in regular season moments when it's not as intense. But when you rank up the intensity in the playoffs, Peyton takes a step back, where a guy like Eli, because of that calm demeanor and keeping that poise in all elements, all phases of the game, he kind of rises to those occasions. So my guesswork is just he's not as tightly wound as some of the other greats. And when it comes down to a situation like last night, we saw the Atlanta Falcons, especially their coaching staff and Kyle Shanahan, a little too tightly wound, and it cost them big time.
What are you going to make about last night? We were talking about it earlier. Is that an unbelievable comeback, or is that a choke job by the Falcons?
Oh, that's nothing but a comeback. Think about it. Even when they were up big, the Falcons, somewhere in your head you were like, they better seal this deal because Belichick and Brady are not out of it until it's over. And I know I was having that conversation, even though there were times in that third quarter I just wanted to walk away from the room saying this game is over. Let's move on with the rest of our evening. But something kept me staying and watching and kept that reservation in my head, and it came true. Look, there were moments where the Atlanta Falcons and their play calling could have easily won this game. After that Julio Jones catch, they didn't even have to run the ball again. They could have just kneeled the ball down and then kicked the field goal from inside the field goal range. And because of the time and the possessions necessary for the comeback, New England would have lost that game. But they went, got them there. And what got them there was Matt Ryan throwing the football. They lost their balance. They only ran the ball 18 times. They lost the time of possession. And it finally caught up to them. That aggressive nature was too much at the end.
That's why I think you got to lean choke job. I mean, you just said it. You take a knee and kick a fidge, it's over, man. You stop one of the two-point conversions. You have rings on your finger right now.
I get what you're saying, but when I look back at this game, I keep thinking about Brady's greatness and 466 yards, and I keep thinking about, wow, you just can never count out Brady and the Patriots and Belichick. And when I think like that, then I go to, oh, Kyle Shanahan and the Falcons had it. But I really – I give so much credit to somehow, some way, as we're all shocked at this epic comeback, we're also thinking, yeah, we should have expected this. Their experience and their greatness had to show up sometime in that game, and it showed up at the latter part.
With Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer, co-host of ESPN Sports Nation. Greater catch for you, was it the Edelman catch or the Julio Jones catch?
Oh, that Edelman catch is insane. I got a little fun fact for you guys because a lot of people don't talk about this when they speak of Edelman and his greatness. Edelman has the fastest NFL combine T-test in NFL history. So the T-test is your lateral movement test. You go 5 yards, you run 10 yards sideways, and you go back 5 yards. He has the fastest in NFL history. So when we talk about him being a converted quarterback, we don't give him a ton of credit for his physical attributes and his athleticism. But when that ball was in the air and you see Edelman still keeping his eyes in contact with that ball, the ability to have that foot in the ground and to move laterally and dive forward, by the numbers, no other person probably could have done that fast, that split second. But Edelman, because of that lateral quickness, was able to identify the ball, be very fortunate and opportune because it landed on the other guy's foot, but still be able to put himself in position for that. Julio Jones' catch is amazing also, but let's not lie to ourselves. We've seen sideline grabs. We've seen acrobatic sideline catches, toe touch catches. But what Edelman did, if David Tyree is the only thing that even comes to mind in terms of not only how opportune it was, but how athletic it was.
I'll throw another stat on top of that. There are rumors out there he's now dating Adriana Lima, the supermodel.
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, now he's in Brady territory.
Like, respect for the man.
A lot of respect for that.
Respect. He's come a long way from that bad episode of the girl that caught him in the bedroom on the internet.
Snapchat.
He's come a long way. I love it.
Yeah, Snapchat burned him, but Edelman's okay now, I think.
Marcellus, yes, we were just talking about Brady. What do you make of this guy? Like, how long do you think he's going to keep going after this? We had a prop bet, him and Belichick, over-under on Super Bowl appearances going forward at 1.5. Like, how long do you think these guys are going to keep chasing this?
Man, you can't stop glowing about how great they are, and we all just have to admit they're different than us. Let's say it is 2001. I remember being a Buffalo Bill and going to the San Diego Chargers, and Tom Brady, after Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe, and Tom Brady's their quarterback. I remember playing against him. That was 2001.
I know.
We just saw on February 5th, 2017, not only did he win his fifth Super Bowl, but let's say this. A couple nights before that, we were wondering, would he win the NFL MVP? I mean, with four fewer games than every other player, he went out there and had an MVP-type season and won a Super Bowl. He is not going to stop until he declares he wants to stop. He's not slowing down, certainly, right now in the moment. I can't put a number on when it's over. So in that prop bet, I'm taking the over, because what is going to slow him down? He doesn't get hit that often. He knows his offense. They have such discipline in their scheme. They're going to continue to roll, man. They're always in position to be contenders, and if not champions, so I don't see it slowing down.
With Marcellus Wiley, was Brady the lock MVP for you last night, or would you have thought of throwing it to James White?
Oh, no, it was Brady, lock MVP. I mean, let's be real. One, name value. Two, by the position, he's a quarterback. And three, 466 yards, especially after how he started that game off. He wasn't the sharpest Brady we've seen. But when you add up that stat line, and of all the great moments he's had, and especially great moments in Super Bowl history, to finally see one with 466 yards on it. I love me some James White last night, but that doesn't compare. So let's bring in other elements like the marketing, the business, the name value, all that in totality. And it's Tom Brady. You have to say it's him.
I thought he handled the Goodell stuff pretty well. He went all class. He was asked about it postgame by someone from Fox, and he said, listen, this is all about positivity. I'm not going back to Deflategate. I'm not going back to the four-game suspension. And then this morning when he received the MVP from Goodell, he played the classy role and said it's an honor to be up here with the commissioner and receiving this award. Do you think in a way that's an even bigger shot at Goodell? Because he's just so far above him in terms of everything. I mean, Brady, this was the ultimate revenge. And Goodell can't even walk away and say, well, he kind of acted like a punk when he won. He just went out on top in every single way.
Acting like a punk. They were wearing T-shirts getting off the plane today with Goodell's face on it and a clown nose.
Some of the players and the coaches were. I didn't see Brady rocking that shirt, though.
Well, right. I mean, look, success is the best revenge. It's the sweet revenge. I mean, we all get it. When you can be successful, why do you have to stoop down and remind the person that you just defeated them? Because it really doesn't show the proper level of class. And look, I think it would have took away from what Brady did if he had to say, oh, by the way, my motivation was this one man who doesn't play but gets paid more than all us players. Like, we get it, Brady. We get it. And the fact that he went out there and just did it, let his actions speak louder than his words, I love that moment because – to be that great is one thing, but to show that great character is going to be one of the things we remember even more than the stat line. So tremendous respect for Brady for just being a proper, not only player, but the right person to handle all that responsibility the right way.
All right, Marcellus, last question before we let you go. Does Lady Gaga lose points because she taped that jump off the roof the night before, I believe it was?
Oh, man, I can't lie to you. I didn't even watch the halftime show. You know, it's weird. To me, I'm in a world right now where if it's not Bruno Mars doing it every single year, I'm like, what are they doing? I love me some Lady Gaga, too. But for a few people I know, they kind of were off the halftime show. So I don't even know what she did, didn't do. I saw one scene. She was, like, pop-locking and breakdancing with a guy who was holding her mic. I thought that was a little peculiar. And after that, I no lie, I was watching it on DVR. I just fast-forwarded right to the game. I said, I'll catch this on some YouTube highlights later.
All right, buddy. That's a true football player. true football mind right there. Great stuff all year, man. It's been an absolute blast. We look forward to kickstarting 2017 with you.
Let's do it, man. And as we know, the 2017 starts off the same way it ended. Patriots are the favorite.
That's
Isn't
right.
Isn't that crazy?
No question, man. Enjoy the offseason. All right. Thanks, Marcellus.
All right. Have a great one, guys. Take care, Toronto.
There's Marcellus Wiley. Longtime NFLer. Didn't even watch Lady Gaga.
What do you do? Do you just start eating or what?
Yeah, I guess you're eating. Maybe you're gambling. You're talking to people if you're at a party.
Like, I'm a guy's guy. I love the sports, but I was not missing Gaga.
I wanted to see Lady Gaga. Full disclosure, man. And it does take a little bit away the fact that she taped the jump. Like, a little bit. Because it was still a really cool performance.
I can't believe you didn't even know that.
I thought so. With the cut, like the cutaway, the way they cut it, there's no way they wouldn't have shown her from that angle of her jumping in. But at the same time, it doesn't matter if you do it live or you did it 5, 10, 15 years before that. If you actually jumped off the roof and, I guess, bungeed into the stadium, you got to give her credit for that. I mean, that takes stones. I wouldn't be able to pull that off.
I thought she was awesome. One of my favorite parts of the game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Lady Gaga's performance.
She didn't get, like, a lot of support, I don't think. A lot of people were kind of down. I thought it was awesome.
I thought people got a little bit greedy from last year because it was Beyonce, Chris Martin, Bruno Mars. I think people were waiting for someone else to come out, and it was only Lady Gaga, and maybe... You know how it is, man. Like, you can never
Nobody's ever happy.
The
fake outrage will come out for anything.
That's right. You can never appease everybody. There isn't an artist out there that everyone absolutely loves. Pre-game for Leafs Isles tonight at 6:30, so we're out of here in about 45 minutes. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. We'll start teeing that game up. Raptors in action tonight as well. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, we missed out on this earlier in the afternoon, so let's circle back and get to the grit grinder. Lots of options coming off the weekend.
I'm going to go to the umpire that took the tennis ball off the noggin. It was aggressive. It was an accident.
It ended the Davis Cup.
That's...
It's over. Canada, you're done.
Like, don't you kind of wish the umpire just stood up and said, sorry, like, it's okay, bro. I know you screwed up. Let's get this fired up.
It does make you wonder, like, did he milk it a little bit? It felt like he was milking it.
Like, we understand. It, like, nobody wants to get picked off like that.
Would really hurt.
But can't you just say, look, let's move on from this?
Furthermore, the kid got fined.
7 G's.
And he's a young guy. Like, this is not Roger Federer getting fined $7,000. I mean, that's $7,000 that he could use.
And by the way, he just made SportsCenter's top 10 list forever.
Forever. Forever and ever, as Jerry would say. I got to go back to the game. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they deserve a lot of credit for being grit grinders. They've been grit grinding throughout the 21st century and doing it like nobody else in pro sports. When you think of the longevity of these two,
it's incredible. Marcellus Wiley was just talking about it.
It's incredible what's going on.
Yeah.
And Roger Goodell has got to be feeling like the scum of the earth today. And we'll discuss who garners more attention and more boos, him or Bettman. Because he got booed a lot last night. Like, that was Jerry territory.
No, there's no question.
All right. We'll kick off the next hour debating that. Start teeing up the Leaf game as well. They're down in Brooklyn taking on the Islanders. Pre-game at 6:30. Puck drop at 7 right here on TSN 1050.